Yes, and welcome back to more natural alternatives. And thank you so much for joining us today. And we do have an interesting guest with us, and we do want to remind you that tonight's show is also brought to you by integrativepractitioner.com, which is an online community for practitioners of integrative medicine at www.integrativepractitioner.com. And our guest for this evening is Ruthie Alon, and she's actually calling in all the way from Israel. We're quite amazed because our guests have been on this month from all over the world. We had Dr. Viv Harris, who is a holistic veterinarian from New Zealand, on just about a week or so ago. So it's really great. You know, everything's such a double-edged sword, but a lot about the small community that brings us all together is quite beautiful. And I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, Ruthie.
Thank you, yes.
Wow, and you sound loud and clear all the way from across the sea.
From Jerusalem, yes.
It's amazing. Now, you're a senior trainer in the Feldenkrais method, and you studied many years, starting in 1959. I started my training in holistic medicine, I would say in 1964, so just a few years after that. But I don't often meet people who have been involved in natural health longer than me, so this is really an honor. What made you feel drawn to study the Feldenkrais method way back then?
Oh, that was just good luck. That was just good luck. It's not that I came from a specific problem. I just love to move. And I was lucky that there was Feldenkrais at this time, and I could study with him and discover a whole world that is really different from anything else.
What do you mean that it's different?
It's different because we do movement, but it's not that we show people some final product that is ideal, that we think it is ergonomic, and ask people to try hard to imitate it, to try their best, to use their willpower or effort. We are doing something different. We are educating the system, the organism, beyond the cognitive self, to explore unused options and retrust its own judgment mechanism and come to another policy about self-management. So the learning is coming as a discovery, and then there is more acceptance to it and more willing to adapt it to life. And it sounds different and new, but actually this is the way we learn in nature. That's how a child learns, by trying all kind of different variations until something makes more sense. And this is the difference between like taming an animal or developing the intelligence, the inner intelligence, to be able to assess and to explore and to find. So our process is guiding the person to their own intelligence. That is sometimes hidden by habitual movements and organization of movement, coordination can be consistent like any other addiction. An addiction don't respond too well to willpower and wishful thinking. So we are doing something really different.
And this practice, which was being taught by Feldenkrais himself, Moshe Feldenkrais, actually was used to train a lot of high-end professionals. For instance, you have in your notes that Prime Minister Ben-Gurion also studied this method.
Oh, yes. Feldenkrais was his private coach and gave him lessons, private lessons, a few times a week. And I tell you, those were years that Ben-Gurion had such a strong authority, and I would not be astonished if it is also because of what Feldenkrais created in him.
Now, you wrote a book in 1970 called Mindful Spontaneity.
Right.
And also that book is available now, you said, in North Atlantic Books.
Yeah, it's available in North Atlantic Books and also in Feldenkrais Resources, Mindful Spontaneity.
And it's been translated into 5 languages.
Yeah, even more, and lately also to Russian.
Oh, that's fascinating. And what do you talk about in Mindful Spontaneity?
That was really very long ago, and it was the beginning of my discoveries, but still it was very, very idealistic about what is the potential of our movement, and we don't have to be stuck in our compromises and thinking that the body betrays us in age. And there is always possible to learn and to improve and to ignite that from the beginning. So I give there a few exercises, actually. We don't call them exercises because this has a connotation of the effort thing. But it's body movements and also some explanations, the level that I had then, yes.
Right. In other words, that you have grown in your knowledge of both this method and other techniques.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yet the book Mindful Spontaneity has a lot of worthwhile basic understanding of the method.
Right. And some people tell me it's near their bed and every time they read a page.
Oh, they use it as an inspirational manual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on your website, bonesforhealth.com, you talk about the fact that this method, the Feldenkrais method, can also help with bone health. And however, it doesn't seem to be that it's just from, let's say, taking calcium supplements and increasing bone density, but by approaching bone health from another point of view.
Yeah, my site is bonesforlife.com, and this is a special program that I revised based on the Feldenkrais principles of how the body learns, somatic learning, for the specific need for impact on the bone in order to remind it it is needed. I mean, this is its destination, to hold our weight and to make movement easier. And if we don't use it, the organism doesn't, might interpret it, there is no need for that strength, for that withstanding. So we challenge the skeleton in style of pulsations of pressure, rhythm, springiness, kind of configurations that the movement in it will use the bones more than people use it in life. Usually, especially those who have weakness in the bones, probably because of not using them.
You know, there's an interesting machine which we discussed here on Natural Alternatives last week. My partner, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, actually introduced it to our listening audience. And it's used, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's actually used by NASA because when astronauts go into a zero gravity area, of course, when they're doing space travel, their bones tend to lose calcification very, very quickly. And they found that this particular kind of movement, where you just stand on a machine that shakes you, mm-hmm. actually establishes much greater bone density quite quickly. And although you're not talking about a machine, you're talking about people using movement and various alignment techniques, it seems like it would be similar in terms of distributing pressure on the bone, which allows it to build better bone tissue.
Yeah, I know about it. I also tried it. It's amazing about NASA that astronauts, the highest fitness model in the world, if they don't have the gravity, they also, their bones become weak and distort and all kind of troubles. Now, the machine, it's very good. It gives interaction with gravity, but there is a but to it. If somebody is not aligned well, I'm sure astronauts are aligned perfect, but if somebody has a neck that is compressed in too much in curve and it doesn't stand on top of the spine and it does these vibrations, what it does, it just aggravates and reinforces the distortion in the neck. So not everyone can just go right away and do it. There is all the strengthening of the bone is totally conditioned on weight-bearing posture. And this is what we are developing in safety. We have a lot of processes, shortcut to better posture.
Well, what do you mean by a shortcut? And what do you mean by better posture? What people consider good posture, which would be, I guess, sitting up straight, you know, like in ballet you learn posture. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. I mean a posture that can transmit power, the force from the ground in standing. You are stamping your foot on the ground to do one step. So if the posture is transmitting that force throughout your total skeleton with no... comes to all the way to the other end with no loss and no deviation and no delay and not to put too much load on one joint or bypass other joints, we say this posture is functional. It doesn't have to be a straight geometrical line. It can be with the curves of the body if they are streamlined. It's like a domino effect. The domino can set in all kind of curves, and the movement will go from one end to the other. But if the deviation will be too sharp somewhere, the movement will stop, and it will be a friction there, compression, a problem, pain, and people will not want to do it anymore. So once we want to have dynamic movement that will talk to the bones, we have to guarantee that the alignment of the body is proper. And this is a very, very, sophisticated thing, because this alignment is changing every moment with the movement. So you don't need to know one thing. You need to develop your talent, a dynamic talent of adjustability, of having your senses very awake and knowing the possibilities.
Well, you have something on your website that is quite inspirational. It's called the Integration Prayer. God, please grant me flexibility in my joints so I will have freedom of movement, and give me the strength of fastening one vertebrae on top of the other so I will have a reliable access and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah,
that's an interesting poem.
Because we need both. We need flexibility. There were years in my life I thought it's all about flexibility. Movement is flexibility. But now with the widespread awareness of bone deterioration in the culture, I started to see that we need also the power. And I found ways to combine it together, and this is the functional prayer, the integration prayer of the bones.
Now, with the Feldenkrais method, would you say that what you've developed has sort of gone beyond that, or are you still a Feldenkrais practitioner? Would it be the same as other Feldenkrais practitioners might share with their clientele?
I would say that... Feldenkrais started from judo. This is the ultimate movement that has all aspects. But in his method, he created kind of a laboratory for coordination, a superb coordination. where people learn how to develop this talent in themselves. And this laboratory is without gravity, lying down, just to observe connections and correspondence. But for the bones, we need also the impact of power and rhythm. So I needed to use it in another context, but it's the same principles of learning, and I'm still a Feldenkrais trainer. I teach also Feldenkrais.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I heard Moshe. I studied in the first generation. I knew him personally so well. And I heard him once saying that he hopes that his method, his methodology of his approach will be used for many other things, not even just movement. So I feel totally whole with developing this program for the specific need. But actually, it's not just the needs of the bones, because in order to strengthen the bones, you need to take care of everything else. So many people can enjoy that.
Well, you know what? We're going to take just a few-minute break right here. And when we come back, we're going to address more issues, and people can definitely look at your website, which is Bones for Life, all one word, bonesforlife.com, as we talk about the program rationale and, you know, how this might help bone health, bone strength, and, of course, many other aspects of a balanced life. We will be right back with more natural alternatives. Ruthie is telling us about the Feldenkrais method, and she has been working in the field with beginning in 1959. She wrote a book about it in 1970, so she is certainly not a newcomer. Her website at bonesforlife.com demonstrate how you can use intelligent fitness, quality aging, osteoporosis prevention, personal ergonomics, and the body language of leadership. I really like that kind of discussion, so thank you for bringing it to us, and thank you for being our guest today here on Natural Alternatives. And welcome back, Ruthie.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, what is the special contribution of your program specifically to osteoporosis?
The catch here is that the people who most need it, sometimes they are not fit for doing movement without getting injured. These are the people who did not challenge their confrontation with gravity, just walking slowly without rhythm here and there, using the wheels and all the cultural facilities, and not using their own body. So you cannot give them dynamic movement that will heal the bones, they are not organized for it. This is the real catch. And what we can do, coming from Feldenkrais principles, is to how gently and gradually develop the capacity and the change in the body to be able to confront all these other challenges safely. We use our own hands to align the neck or the lumbar. We use a strip of cloth of 7 meters that we wrap around as a harness in different ways. We use a wall, we use the floor. So we are doing it safely and gradually, and it's really successful. It shows. We even tested two groups that studied four months each, and we measured the bone density, although the bone density is not the only criteria for bone health, as we know today. But even in the bone density, it showed a significant improvement. And I would like to talk really about what is our model for this program.
Yes, that's an excellent thing to share with us.
My model is the African women carrying weight on their heads, the water carriers. They intrigued the scientists very much, how such small women can carry a weight a third of their body and not compensate their breathing or their heartbeat, and they can do it day after day after day, and their posture is the best in the world. And not only that, the research that was done in it was written in the Body and Mineral Research on November 96, find out they have less fracture comparing to the West, 1 to 100. 1 to 100. It's unbelievable. They don't fracture their bones. And this was what intrigued me. It's not only the density and not only the diet.
Because they don't have necessarily good bone density.
They don't have a higher density than the West. They don't have that, and still they don't fracture the bones because they have the experience of dealing with the load and with the organizing their movement in the rhythm that will be economical and balanced. They have a special sense for maintaining equilibrium. They develop some kind of resourcefulness, how to deal with the extra weight without getting tired, without deteriorating from it, but the other way around. So all these factors, these are things that can be learned. And it is my passion to decipher the components of their walk, which I do. This is the alignment and the way the foot detaches from the floor, every detail in it. And people begin to change their posture and their capacity to deal with weight, and hopefully also strengthen their bones.
Now, one thing that you mentioned to me when we were on our break off air, Ruth, is that you could share over the air a mini, I don't know if you call it exercise or movement activity, that perhaps our listeners can try.
Yeah, we can try to do that. Will you do that with me also?
I sure will. I'm here in the studio.
So you are sitting on a chair?
Yes.
Right. So you want to look up at the ceiling several times. You look and come back.
Do you keep your head straight ahead, or do you lift your head to look up at the ceiling?
You need to get away far from the leaning on the back of the chair.
Okay.
Sit freely. Feel how it's sitting for you, and then test that movement of lifting up the head, which is an arching issue. Okay, we'll take it as a test. Now, what we don't do, we don't try to repeat it with more power, with more willpower, with trying hard to do the maximum. We don't lift the head at all. If you put one hand on your belly, the other hand on your chest, and holding your body, take the hands closer to each other so you create some bending, and then come back and do it several times. With your hands, guide the belly and the chest to get closer to each other. You bend down, your head is hanging a little bit, and come back several times. And now, every time you bend down, begin to brush one foot on the floor closer to yourself until it detaches from the floor. One foot, the same foot. Every time the chest and the belly come closer to each other, the head is down, brush the foot on the floor towards yourself until it lifts from the floor. The toes are the last to leave the ground. And do it several times with the other foot. Coinciding, coordinated with the bending. Every time you come back to the horizon, don't lift the head. Okay, now you can continue do it one after the other, alternating. Once you do it with the right, once with the left, like some part of a formula of walking, very strange walking, but it has the components of that formula. Good. Take a rest. Just sit. And notice how is sitting for you now. Let's go back to the bending with the help of your hands, but this time emphasizing the bending, the foot that stays on the floor, and push it a little more emphasized into the ground when the other one lifts, as it lifts, without the brushing. Just notice the foot that stays on the floor and give it some power as you, every time you bend the head down and roll a little backwards with the bending, as if you are going to begin to lie on your back. You roll your leaning on the chair more to your behind the pelvis. Feel the power from the foot into the ground and let go of that. Sit. And take a moment to feel how is sitting now. Is there another flavor to it, another atmosphere? If you feel you can sit a little longer now without worry. Excuse me. And then lift up the head to the ceiling, see how it goes. So how it is for you, Ellen?
Yeah, that was very relaxing.
How is the looking up now?
I can't, it's still, you know, it was okay to begin with, but I guess if someone was stiff, it might feel, you know, that they had more movement and flexibility in their neck, I would imagine. It was a very relaxing feeling to do those movements.
Okay, we are very good. We use more a term like organized rather than relaxing. Now, what we did here, if some people felt that lifting the head became a little easier, a few percent, what we did here, we did not try to show ourselves or to give ourselves an order to reach a certain place with the head. Instead, we developed some harmony, some coordination between the different parts of the body, because we are not healing a specific muscle that is suffering just by dealing with it. It's like a family therapy. We look at the cooperation of all parts together. This is the genius of Feldenkrais to centralize his method on integration. This is the highest value. This is the organic characteristic. So this is really just a symbolic 2-minute thing. Process usually is a whole hour about a theme, every time something else. The program is like 90 processes.
So it's 90 sessions if people started to learn the method. Now, how is it incorporated into the daily schedule? For instance, if someone, I do yoga every day, so I do yoga at least 30 minutes a day, and I walk at least 3 miles a day, and then I lift weights. So I actually write into my daily routine the movement that I'm going to do a day, and I have to set aside the time for that as well. So in terms of Feldenkrais, how is it incorporated into the daily schedule, and how much time would we need to do it once the lessons were all completed?
That's very nice. Then you are very fortunate you really realized and found the time to do all these things. I don't yet specify people how much time, but they take what is meaningful for them at the time and they repeat it, especially the bouncing on the heels that we do. This is a very basic thing. I hope we could do that too, but not this time.
Well, bouncing of the heels sounds like it might sort of duplicate that NASA treatment.
Ah, yeah, right. It duplicates, and it is actually, it's also invented by a space engineer from Russia called Mikulin, and he did it for the heart. You are just standing. If you like to do that now.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
You are standing from the chair, and just feel how you are standing. moment, and then lift your heels just 1 centimeter, very little, and bump them into the floor. And do that again, just that. Feel how the stamping is creating a pressure into the ground, which creates in its turn a counter pressure that loads your body from up down. And now you can do it in double, like a heartbeat. Pum, 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 pum. And he did it for his heart problem. He had a serious heart problem, age 50. They didn't think he will live much, and he played tennis at the age of 83. Now, this thing for the heart, for the circulation, how the movement can help the circulation and doesn't leave it all for the heart to pump, is exactly what the bones need also for mechanically, for having more provision of blood to suck, and more with more power, so that it can really penetrate the bone and the envelope of the bone and give it the nourishing. And also the...
So how long do you have... You know, this is why I love doing natural alternatives. I've done this show since 1990, every Friday, 6 p.m. And I'm always learning more. I was wondering, after I read about that NASA machine, you know, everybody doesn't have one of those machines, and going to a doctor's office who does have it is, you know, expensive and takes time. So you're just teaching us exactly how we can do that movement for ourselves. How long would you have to repeat that bouncing on the heel movement for it to be effective?
Very few minutes. I have evidence of people who did not repeat the other things, just repeat bouncing on the heels and got improvement in bone density. And what I do at the same time, with the hand on the neck, with the little finger at the base of the skull and the index finger on the big vertebra at the base of the neck, opening the span of the fingers, spreading them out, and let the neck lean on it, so you guarantee that the neck is more continuity with the spine. Like this, you bounce, you do something similar in the lumbar, you notice where is the pressure, the focus of pressure in the feet, many components that make it also a healthy alignment, then it really works. And which is different from just a machine.
That's for sure. And yet, there's so much science behind the fact that it works. That's
of
fabulous.
People mastering their own movement and feeling their improvement, we call it biological optimism. And it doesn't happen when it happens passively.
Biological optimism, that's a great word.
Right. This is, I say this is the main gain of the program. The improvement of the bones is the bonus.
Is there any limit to the number of times that you would do that bouncing for a few minutes a day? Because I could see just incorporating it if you're sitting at a desk. Stand up and do it for a few minutes at your desk.
Wonderful, yes. I tell people to do it according to their feeling. As long as they feel it, it gives them something, they learn something, they are with it. It's not just about mechanically.
Well, what is your overriding vision after so many years in this field? As we talked about when we introduced you earlier, you've been doing this since the 1950s. What is your vision for the future in terms of this method and in terms of, let's say, the health of the planet?
Yeah. You see, I taught many teachers, and just in the United States, there are a few hundred. You can find them in the website, bonesforlife.com, also the website of the organization of the teachers, which is movementintelligence.org. And they are brilliant teachers, very devoted, teach faithfully. So I hope people will go and learn, and the population will look differently, especially when they are aging. And I myself am close to 80, and I still improve every day.
Well, that's always inspirational.
Yeah.
You know, I just went to visit my aunt who's 102, so she would call you a spring chicken, right? So it's all relative.
Well, I do hope the public will take it and use it and enjoy it.
And it sounds like something that once learned is very easy to incorporate into one's life and can bring a great sense of balance and increased health, as well as our focus today, healthier bones. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today right here on Natural Alternatives. And I'd like to remind you listeners that you can find out more about Ruthie Alon and her program. And there's a beautiful picture of you, Ruthie, on your website doing that heel bouncing movement. It's beautiful. And that's at bonesforlife.com. And if you'd like to find out more about the Integrative Practitioner, you can visit their website at integrativepractitioner.com. And of course, this is Ellen Kamai. You can find me at naturalnurse.com. Until next time, as always, we're hoping that you stay healthy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your messages to the people, your radio station. And the picture is actually about jumping. This, we arrived to that too.
Okay, thank you so much and be well.
Thank you.